Welcome to Pixelated Radio, the best of yesterday and today. I'm your host, Henderson Mann, and with me this week is Corey.
How's it going?
And Rich.
Hey, I'm here.
Barely.
Barely, yeah. You don't even know.
Mark is not with us this week. He's got other things going on, so he could not make it. But we're here. And we're here to talk about video games and other pop culture-y stuff. But first, before we get into that, me and Corey spent some time together 2 weeks ago. That's why there was no podcast. You know.
Kids are out having fun without us.
Yep. Now the only person I need to meet is you, Rich.
Cause I know.
I met Corey 2 years ago before he was even on the podcast. But you are the only person. You're not the only one of person. I guess that's not true, because there's like three people I've not met that I've podcasted, like, had a podcast with. You, Brew, and Gus. So, and you guys are all over there in Maryland and Massachusetts and New York, so I never get over that way. Those places scare me.
We gotta change that. Oh, come on, man. We're friendly out here.
I'd love to go to PAX over there if I had the money.
That was my suggestion, man.
But it's always on the weekends I work, my work does not allow you to change weekends unless it's a big. It's like, oh, I'm going to change this weekend. Well, then you got to work like the next three weekends in a row. Fuck that.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess PAX is out of the picture then.
Yeah. Plus, why they decided to have a PAX show in the northeastern part of the United States in February, March.
No, it's in it's in late March now. Well,
is everybody still there? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Generally, I don't know. Last year was kind of weird, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't snow, but there was definitely snow on the ground. There was snow on the ground in July in some parts of.
Are you serious? Were there still snow?
Well, there was like these giant piles of snow that, you know.
They were still there in July?
Yeah, I think the last of the big pile in Boston was gone by like July 8th or something like that. Something crazy like that. It was all dirty. It looked like dirt, but it was actually ice.
I remember when they talked about PAX and they said that downtown PAX, there was a big thing of snow that was at least 4 stories tall. That's crazy.
That was a crazy winter, man. Well, all this El Nino talk, we're probably not going to have much of a winter this year if the experts are right. So, if you do come, this might be the year to do it, Rob.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know. We'll see, though. Stranger things, but it's also harder for me to get any time off between in that early part of the year as well. So,
yeah.
Who knows? But. Anyway, we're not here to talk about all that.
No, we're not.
So let's get into a few things here. What we have been playing. Well, I know Rich hasn't played either one of these because, well, he doesn't have a PS4.
You're correct, sir.
Me and Corey last night played, about an hour and a half of Gauntlet Slayer's Edition?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. That sounds good.
So, if you ever, the game is really good, although I don't hate it. It's really hard. And it's very old school Gauntlet. It is very mm-hmm. much like they took the old arcade game and just rezzed the shit out of it and made it pretty and put that on a console. That's exactly what this game is. It's not like Gauntlet Legacy. It's not like Diablo really anymore. It's that run and gun, constantly moving arcade style of gameplay.
That sounds like something I'd actually want to play.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more to it than that, though. They added, you know, weapons you can unlock and get gold.
Yeah, you can upgrade stuff, but for the most part, if you took an old game and rezzed it up and added a few couple of new features, but didn't really change the gameplay style, is basically. I mean, it's got the whole thing where when you walk into a room, you may have the monster spawners that you got to destroy. It's got the same enemies, like the ghosts and stuff that sweep around the room and go through walls and shit. It's a very cool style of game. But it is hard. And basically, it's got this really unique system, too, for how it deals with lives. Mm-hmm. So when you get kills, you fill up a meter. And every time you get so many kills, you get another skull coin. And when a person dies, they spend those skull coins to come back. So you can keep yourself alive by doing better in the game, unless you're Corey, who can't do shit in the game and dies all the time and takes all the lives. And then I got to sit there when I finally die and just like, nope, I'm going to sit here for a while and let Corey kill everything.
Well, are you trying to make up for Mark not being here?
No, I'm trying to make up for the fact Corey sucks at Gauntlet.
Okay. I do not suck at Gauntlet. I'm playing this class where you have to get up close and personal, and you're all back away, just lottie-dottieing it around there.
He's playing the warrior. I'm playing the elf. Now, anybody that's played D&D above first edition, that will annoy the piss out of them, because it's like, elf is not a class. Elf is a race, okay? Elf is not a class. Warrior? Okay, that's a class. Valkyrie? Hey, that's also a class. Mage? Yep, class. Elf.
Should elf. Be like a ranger or something.
Yeah, ranger. That's exactly what you are. You're a ranger. But nope, in Gauntlet, you're a fucking elf. Fuck you, Gauntlet, and your negative stereotypes towards D&D players. So we've changed those mistakes since D&D first edition, okay?
So, okay, let me guess. The elf is like a rogue?
No, he's a ranger. He shoots arrows.
He's a ranger. Okay. Well, yeah. my rogue always shoots arrows. I'm a range rogue. That's how I roll.
Range rogue?
Yes.
I'm more of an R4 myself, you know.
As bad as it sounds like you're bashing on the game,
I like the game. It's just, it's hard. I don't want to sound like I'm bashing the game. It's just, it's kind of refreshing to have something that feels old school and at the same time doesn't bore me to tears.
What game would you possibly be talking about there?
But seriously, I do like the Gauntlet game. I wish it was coming to Xbox, but according to Steven, Big Steven, from the Double XP podcast and friend of ours who I also visited, he says that Sony had something to do with this game, so he says it's probably never coming to the console, to Xbox.
You know, I think I heard that too, unfortunately.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, it is disappointing.
So, but...
Yeah, if you could get four people playing on this game, I think it'd be a whole heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah, although...
Yeah, it sounds like it. I'd play it.
I've had issues, though, where I keep watching Corey's character move across the screen and thinking it's me, and... Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah, I did that too with you. Yeah. And having four people on the screen, that would be even worse, I would think.
Yeah. So, but game's fun. It's only $20. So I don't know how long it is, but we played it for an hour and a half, and there were still levels coming up, so I don't know how many levels there are. I mean, it's a lot.
Man, that's one of the first PS4 games I heard in a while that I actually want to play. Well, sounds really cool.
All right, we're going to move along to Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. So, I was so looking forward to this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pre-ordered this shit like a month ago. I was like, I kept watching the countdown timers. And I'm not going to say I hate the game. But
can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Were you able to figure out how to run?
After I looked online and I read that apparently they didn't put the option to run into the game very late. Didn't have time to give you a prompt to say, hey, you need to hold down the right triggers button for 7 seconds. What game makes you hold down a fucking run button for 7 seconds before it works? If I hit a button and move forward and it doesn't work, I'm going to assume that button doesn't do shit.
Let me guess. Everyone's going to the Rapture?
Yeah, but the run button's kind of a joke in itself.
Yeah, yeah. But it is faster. It is faster.
Mildly
faster.
Maybe like a crawl to like a slow walk.
Everybody's Gone to Rapture is this new gameplay genre that's come about that one IGN editor says it's called the Walking Simulator. And I played another game like this in my own segment that I will talk about. But, yeah, it's a walking simulator. It's pretty, you know, it's real, everything looks really nice. The problem I run into with this game is I like the mystery and trying to figure out what's going on and trying to find the radios and stuff to get the information to kind of get the background information. And you're basically just walking around and you see these lights. And when you see these lights, if you turn the controller sideways, which is another thing I fucking hate, can we just get rid of motion control? Please? I am tired of holding up an or a PS4 controller and shifting it left or right like I'm driving a fucking car to try to tune into something. This shit is dumb. I was over it in PS3. Can we be over it now, please? Please. And you turn a light until, it pops up in the view and gives you part of a glimpse of a scene in somebody's life. And they focus on different characters. And it's kind of like as the game goes along, you start weaving all these characters' lives together and you're like, oh, that's that person's mother. Or that's this person's cheating on this person. And that's all kind of interesting, but has nothing really too much to do with the story of what's going on. But it's nice to get an idea of these lives. It's like a life simulator. My big problem with Everyone's Gone to the Rapture is, unlike Gone Home and stuff, you can't really interact with very much. I didn't actually get to play Gone Home, but seeing how you could pick up items and read notes and stuff that people left behind, all that seemed really interesting to me to tell a story. This, it's like you go into people's houses and you might see children's drawings or something like that, but you can't really interact with anything besides radios and doors. And not every door can be opened, so that's kind of frustrating. And you kind of learn that, oh, if a door is cracked, you can open it. And you might see, like, stuff strewn about. But there's never a letter laying around that tells you something's going on. Very few. There might be a sign on the refrigerator or here and there. But honestly, there's just nothing to this game. Corey, I'll let you follow up with... because you finished it, and I have not.
Yeah, I did finish it. I really do like the story elements of it when you're actually hearing the audio logs or the little glimmers of people or whatever you want to call that. It's interesting. Now, I'm playing with subtitles. Mm-hmm. If you weren't playing with subtitles, you would be lost.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any visual representation of who these characters are.
Right.
So there's like Kate and, I don't even remember all the other names, but, they all sound pretty much the exact same. Mm. And if you did not have the subtitles, it would be person talking to person. So if you've been playing it without subtitles, I highly recommend turning it on. But, the other problem is that because the walking pace is so slow, you know, you'll get one little instance of dialogue and you'll walk for another 5 to 10 minutes and get another instance of dialogue. And the space between them is just too long to where it's like, I don't even know that I want to continue going on to see what's going next.
Yeah, the world is really big, but there's just nothing in it to interact with in between the emptiness.
Yeah. As you mentioned in Gone Home, there's just... there is nothing to interact with. It's a pretty game. It's a very beautiful town that you're walking through and all this forest roads and trails and go through farmland and whatnot. But if you don't like looking at stuff and just want to know what's going on in the story, it is tedious.
Yeah. Corey, I think, is down on it more than I am, but
you sound pretty down on it, man.
No, well, I'm frustrated with it because
beat the game and tell me you're not down on it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. That's
wow. Okay. Well, I guess
that's a ringing endorsement right there.
Cause I was on board. I was like, okay, this story's picking up. I'm starting to figure out what's going on. And then it ended and I'm not going to say anything about the end, but
yeah, basically Corey told me last night, well, you found this, didn't you? And I said, yeah, I seen it off in the distance, but just go there. That's the end of the game. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, you're almost there. And there's lots of glitches in this game too, that at least they seem like glitches to me because there's no other way to interact with anything. So lots of times you follow this light that just bops around from place to place. And if you follow this light, that's kind of like following the story threads. And when you follow this light, sometimes it doubles back and just does weird shit. We're like, oh, it's going to go this way. Oh, suddenly it'll take you halfway across the yard next door and up this other thing. And it'll come back to right where you're at. Like, it's like, oh, okay, you were here all along. So you're following the stupid light. And sometimes the light will just stop.
I had several instances where I just had to go without it. And I was like, I hope I'm going the right way.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at in the game, where I told you last night. I was like, that's exactly where I'm at. The light stopped moving. I don't it won't move. I can't interact with it. And then I would like restart the game and it's still in the same place, but instead of being on the ground, it's like, you know, 10 feet in the air now. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then like I went on somewhere and then I was like, oh, it's moving around again. And, But then I was like, well, now I'm in somebody else's story. I didn't finish the last person's story. It didn't make any sense to me. Mm. So I don't, it's very frustrating. This game needs a patch bad.
I'm sure there'll be a couple. I'm sure there'll be one to increase the speed of what's your movement. And then I'm sure that they'll have some better guideline or fix the orb thing that you follow.
Yeah. I mean, I really like games that make you wonder what's going on. You know, this to me, when this game starts out, the story kind of reminds me how you feel in Lost. It's like, what the fuck? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? But as it goes along, it's like, oh, you're not interacting with anything. The story doesn't really seem to be going anywhere. And, yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. But apparently I need to finish it so I can hate the game as much as Corey does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's walking to the rapture.
Crawling, more like it. Heyo. And the last thing that we've been playing is, now I don't know if Rich has played Rare Replay. Have you played?
Dude, I've been playing the hell out of some Rare Replay. Well, full disclosure, up until my wife finished her summer session, now it's all Viva Pinata, all her, all the time. So I don't even get to touch the Xbox right now.
Well, tell her to take her ass to the Xbox 360 and play it there.
Tell her.
Get her on here. I'll tell her. Miss Tommy, Rich.
Yeah.
Rich would like to play the Xbox sometime. You know, he does a podcast and
he'll step on you.
Yeah.
I'm so close to getting the CineMonkey. Give me 10 minutes. I'm like, okay.
I don't know what that CineMonkey is, but it sounds delicious,
dude. It's 1986. Oh, I mean
1986. Holy shit!
I'm still half asleep here. It's 2006 all over again in our house, man. It's all about the Viva Pinata right now.
So, as we're talking about Rare Replay, and I just want to get something out because somebody sent me a message on Xbox Messages, Chump Wagon, which I know is somebody.
Yeah, Chump Wagon, man.
He used to be somebody else, though. He changed his Xbox name, I think. He used to be somebody else. Either really? Maybe he just added me as Chump Wagon. I don't recognize him.
I've always known him as Chump Wagon.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I feel bad. Because obviously he's a listener of the show because he's like, I want you to talk about Blast Corps. And I'm like,
I love Blast Corps.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. And I was like, I have him on my friends list, and I don't know why I don't know who Chump Wagon is. I swore it's somebody that changed their name. It used to be somebody else from All Games, and I swear they changed his name. Because I think I remember getting a message from him saying, hey, my name used to be blah, 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 blah. And I just don't know who it is. But Chump Wagon, I'm sorry I don't know who you are. But I don't mean to be an asshole. I just don't remember who you are. But you
Blast Corps was the first game that I played.
Motherfucker, I'm going to talk about Blast Corps. We're worried about Chump Wagon, all right?
We're appeasing Chump Wagon.
He could be dead in a ditch somewhere, all right?
Don't say stuff like that.
I mean, he could be. And the only thing that's going to bring him back is this show. You know, hey, we got to follow the little light to find Chump Wagon in the ditch, okay?
He doesn't have his real name enabled on Xbox Live. I'm looking right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been friends with him for a while.
I have, too.
I know I'm friends with him on Twitter, too.
Everybody's gone to the Chump Wagon. So we got to figure out who it is.
The mystery man.
Well, if he listens, I'm sure he'll let you know.
Yeah.
I like his avatar. What is...
We should make sure Kush names the show Chump Wagon. So this is probably the most Chump Wagon's probably like, oh my god, they're talking about me.
No, those losers forgot my freaking name. That's what he's saying.
Damn, dude, I went to lunch with you when you was in PAX, man. What the fuck? Yeah. So Chump Wagon, I wanted to talk about Blast Corps, and I played the very first part of this game, and I was like, holy shit, this game is so amazing. I love this game. And I played a little bit, and I was like, I would pay upwards to $20 to buy a new copy of this, like a remade copy of this game, because this game was so much fun. And then I got to the spinny fucking dump truck, and I gave the fuck up on this game, because I could not get the fucking spin on the truck to hit the fucking back, my dump truck's ass, to hit buildings correctly. It was like, I hit the button and it would just start spinning in a circle, and it would like slow down if I got too close to a building.
I'm horrible at this game.
And I'm like, and it's like, hey, you need to learn this and get a gold rank on this if you're going to progress anywhere later in the game. I just said, fuck it. I'm done. I'm not playing it anymore. So there you go, Chump Wagon. I talked more about you than I just did about Blast Corps. So
I love Blast Corps. That game, I played the crap out of that on the 64 when it first came out. And I'm enjoying it again so far. I'm probably 10 or 15 missions into it. It's mini game challenges in a way, but all vehicle based.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun game, and I just wish it wasn't so frustrating. I would probably... Kush is here. What is he doing? Oh, we're watching Kush write something on the... Or excuse me, Mark. He's writing something on the outline, and he's not even on the show. Creepy! Stop. What? Was that Amanda?
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, that's...
No, that was one of my kids.
Sorry. Oh, okay. So, Rare Replay is a bunch of Rare games. And I made a joke on Twitter the other day. I was like, I think the reason why the company was called Rare, because that's how often they made a good game.
I don't know, man, dude. I'm really impressed with the collection.
I wanted to like Jet Force Gemini.
Yeah. I'm so distracted by Kush right now. I turned it off.
I turned it off. I was doing the same thing. Okay, so anyways, getting back to this. Dude, I love this collection, first of all. I mean, the way that they... unlockable stuff. Like, there's games I didn't even know that were in... that were in production that were never made that are they have video on it, music, you can unlock music of games that were never released. There's all kinds of little I like the have you guys watched any of the like the what are they docu or I don't know they're docudramas, but I don't know what they call them in the game.
I watched like the first one. I haven't watched too many of them.
Yeah, pretty interesting, man. Pretty interesting. And you know, it's funny, some games that I didn't like say Grab by the Ghoulies, I'm actually having fun with it on this collection. I know I hated it when on the original Xbox One, but I'm actually been having fun with it. A lot of those old school like Omega games, like what's some of those suckers called? Like I forgot the names of them.
A lot of those are early games. I didn't have the nostalgia for them, so I cannot play them.
Those are garbage.
I put 5 minutes into each of them, maybe.
Yeah.
I couldn't even figure out how to play half of them.
Yeah, you know, some of those I can't like the one, the adventure one, where you're like the adventurer and jumping from like screen to screen. I don't know what's going on. I tried to figure it out. I couldn't figure out what I'm supposed to do in it.
Yeah,
I got an achievement for doing something, but I don't know what I was doing. But what I do like, even the games that aren't all that great, I love like the snap challenges they have, where you know, like say. RC Pro-Am, which, man, I used to be really good at that. I'm not so good at it anymore. You know, collect 20 coins in 30 seconds or, you know, this gives you like a little snapshot of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool, man. And I don't know about you. Did you guys ever play Battletoads? I never played the old Battletoads
game. I played back in the day on NES, and yeah, I was a legend in school because I got past the third level, the Turbo Tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
And got to the fourth level and took a picture of the screenshot to show that I actually got there.
Nice.
And people were like, you're a legend. Nobody else could do it. But yeah. That game was hard as balls, man. And it's still hard as balls.
I watched you play that because I didn't have it the first couple days it came out. And you were streaming it the first day you had it. And just watching you play that and get frustrated was very amusing. even with that rewind mechanic that they have, it's still freaking hard.
It's still super hard, man. Well, it's
like
cool.
The snake area? Oh my god, yeah. I just don't understand.
Like the documentary they have, I don't know, they have one for Battletoads,
mm-hmm.
and it's funny, they're talking about how they made it, and you know, they were like, we're gonna make this as hard as possible. Like, they basically, at some parts of the game, you have like a millisecond to make the right decision,
mm-hmm.
or you're gonna, I mean, it's programmed to be that hard. It's kind of cool, and this like what the thinking was behind it, and I don't know. What do you guys think of the Battletoads arcade game? I kind of
that's pretty
that.
Good.
Yeah, it's really good.
See, I tried to get it. I couldn't get into it the first time I tried to play it, and I need to go back to it and give it another shot because I couldn't figure. I don't like the way the controls are set up in that game. In any of these games, there's like two buttons. The controls are very weird. Like where the button placement's at. It's like. Y and B or Y and X, and it's like, why Y and X? It doesn't make any sense.
I didn't have any issue with it.
Yeah, there was another game. Oh God, what was it called? It's like one of their first 3D games where you're, like adventure shooting games where you're like in you and a dog are like
Jet Force Gemini.
Yeah, Jet Force Gemini, dude. The control scheme on that. I hope they like
already patched it.
Oh, they have.
Yeah, okay. They patched that like day two or something. And, okay, but it still does. That game's still weird and hard to control.
Yeah,
it looks like shit.
But all in all, man, I mean, I think this, even if you're not a Rare fan, I would highly recommend this game only because it's sort of like a love letter to video games, period. I mean, they have like some of the, you just kind of get to see through Rare, you get to see just how much the industry has come, you know, from those early like four color Gemini games to, you know, someone like the early stuff from the early 2000s that Rare put out. I think it's a must have, honestly.
And I disagree. I mean, I can't really disagree because if you've never played the Banjo and Banjo-Tooie and
even Nuts and Bolts, man.
And Nuts and Bolts. And
those
Viva
games
Pinatas.
Alone are worth $30.
Yeah, dude. And Viva Pinata 1 and 2, those are really good games, man.
All right. It's a good collection. My problem with it is all the good stuff came out on 360. And what's even worse is it's basically just emulating the 360 versions. But I wonder if Rare Replay is the whole reason why we got backwards compatibility to begin with. I'm wondering if they just thought, hey, let's see if we can get these games to work and put them in there like that. And they figured out, holy shit, we could do every game this way. I'm wondering if that's how this came about.
It very well could have been.
Or it could have been at least a test bed, you know?
Yeah. My biggest disappointment for this collection is I was really hoping for the Conker's Bad Fur Day, the live and reloaded
the Xbox
version.
Yeah, the Xbox version. Yeah,
I don't know why they didn't do that. That just seems like the dumbest thing ever.
Well, what I was told, or what I read somewhere, I should say, was that they figured that they said the N64 version was the harder version to find. You can still find the Xbox version, so, you know.
Nobody
that was
wants
the reason
to play that shit,
that
though.
That was the reasoning. But what I also heard that we may see some DLC for this. So hopefully, if that's the case, maybe we'll see, you know, the Xbox Fur Day version.
And people, quit bitching that GoldenEye's not in here. GoldenEye was not a good game. You guys have all the nostalgia for it, but that game was a film property, and that game is never coming to this Rare Replay.
Right, exactly. Just like when I could see any of the Donkey Kong stuff. Because,
Yeah. I didn't know this, but Rare has, like, I went to the, like, a Wikipedia page that has a list of all their games. They have, like, more than 100 games that they've made.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I tell you, this collection just has me excited about, you know, what they have coming next. And I you know, Rare's taken a lot of crap since, you know, it's become an Xbox studio. And I think a lot of it's unjustified. Viva Pinata, I don't know about you guys, but I love those games. I thought that Nuts and Bolts was really good. I think the studio's great. I mean, I think the only bad thing is that we haven't seen enough games. You know, they were doing all the Avatar stuff for the 360 system. And
they did those Kinect Sports and whatnot.
Yeah,
Wasn't that Rare?
Right. Yeah, that was Rare, too. You know, but
and the problem is the people that made Rare what Rare was are no longer with Rare.
That's true. They're making Banjo, or no, Ukulele.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I think that's pretty much.
Oh, I do want to say good on them for having the achievement for Battletoads.
Yes.
Do you have Battletoads? As someone who deals with that on a semi-daily basis, it was kind of funny.
I said that I would not buy that game unless that was an achievement. And so I looked it up before I pre-ordered that game and seen that it said something about, we do have Battletoads or something shit. And I'm like, fuck yes.
Oh, something else I want to mention on the show, too. Now, see, I'm almost fully awake now. Battletoads. I think that they may have something there. And I know everyone's joking. Oh, man, Microsoft. Oh, it's another Battletoads reference, blah, blah, blah. Dude, my kids are only 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they found out from school, I didn't even tell them, that Rash was a playable character in Killer Instinct.
Mm-hmm.
I get home and my kid is challenging me. Dad, I'm playing Rash. Get in here now. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, man, when's a Battletoads game coming out? This is awesome. I'm like, what the heck?
Here's the thing with Battletoads. People on the internet are idiots. We want it as hard as the old Battletoads. No, you don't. You've got Rare Replay now. Go back and play that shit. You do not want it that hard.
Yeah.
Make a playable game.
Make a playable game. But make a fun playable game. Make the same kind of levels, but my God, don't make it millisecond, you know.
Yeah.
Make it fun. Because that would be a fun ass game. I would play the hell of a new
Battletoads. Oh, dude, I would too. I mean, I think, like, you know, that's why I mentioned Battletoads Arcade, because that was a little more manageable, and that game is pretty freaking fun, man. So I'm like, if they do like a modern Battletoad, I think they're really on to something.
Yeah. So, Battletoads, yeah.
More so than I thought. It wasn't really on my radar. I mean, I seen the reaction of my kids, and I guess they were talking to their friends at school. And like, yeah, Battletoads is real.
Battletoads is real. Like it was some kind of legend. We lived through that shit. We were...
I was just impressed that, you know, a game that came out before these kids were even born is something that, characters at least are like characters that these kids are excited about. I mean, I think that's kind of cool.
I got Battletoads for Christmas one year because that's what I wanted. I was an idiot. but like...
Did you say was or am?
Was. I'm not an idiot no longer. But like a week of playing it, it just started... It fucked up. It started like having all kinds of like glitches and stuff. So my copy was obviously defective. And so back in the day when this happened, I was able to take Battletoads back, and they didn't have another copy. So instead, I got a Game Genie, and that was an amazing time for me having Game Genie. And then I rented Battletoads and beat the fuck out of it. Well, I can't say I beat the fuck out of it, but I did finish that game.
Has something been going on with Game Genies? Because I'm seeing a lot of, like, in social media, like, the past 2 weeks. Maybe it's because of the Rare Replay, but I've seen a lot of people reminisce about the Game Genie days.
I haven't been reminiscing about it. I think the Game Genie is a stupid thing because it does destroy the challenge and stuff like that. And anybody that says that they play games, like, I got a coworker that says he played some game with his Action Replay on the PS3, Resident Evil, and I'm like, why? Yeah. What's the point?
What's the point?
And I get unlimited ammo and weapons, and I get all the weapons, and I'm like, then what's the point of even playing the game?
Right.
But anyway.
Watch a YouTube video instead.
Yeah.
That's what my kids do.
Ugh. Anyway. Let's get to what I have been playing. Okay. I went back, and I've been playing a lot of The Evil Within.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And
a lot.
Yeah, I'm getting close. I'm like chapter 14 out of 15 chapters, so I'm getting really close to the end. It gets really hard. One thing I like about this game now, when this game launched, it had a letterbox that was across the screen. Basically, like one third of the screen was all you could play in, and the rest was letterboxed. And so they brought out a patch a couple months ago where it took that out, where you could actually turn that off. And that makes all the difference in this game. All the difference to have a full view of what's going on. And this game plays a lot like Resident Evil 4. Did you ever play it, Rich?
No.
Did you like Resident Evil 4?
No.
No, okay.
No, I'm not really a Resident Evil guy. My wife is. She's the Resident Evil resident in the house. I'm not really into Resident Evil that much.
She would probably like this.
Yeah, she probably would.
It's like, I'm not going to get it either because I don't want her playing my Xbox.
No, actually, you know what? Maybe she wouldn't. Are there demons in it?
There's like zombies, basically. They're not really demons.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I guess there's kind of enemies that look like the lady from The Grudge, and stuff like that. So there's not really demons.
Okay.
Basically, it takes place all in your head. That's why it's called The Evil Within. That's not really a spoiler. I mean, it kind of. Well, maybe shut. Fuck! I may have spoiled shit. It's kind of insinuated early on that this is all taking place inside your head. So. But the game is a lot of fun. It's just really hard. And I like collecting items and stuff. That you collect this green gel, and this green gel is what you use to upgrade your abilities and shit. So the game is a lot of fun, and I'm glad I went back to it. And I picked up the season pass because it went on sale like last week or something for like $13, and it apparently had four different DLC packs. So, and apparently those are just as good as the real game or even better. And it deals with the other characters in the game. Three DLC packs. That's what it was. So I'm really enjoying this game. And I think this game was released at a bad time last year. I think it would have done a lot better had it released in a different time, but it released around October, and it seemed like there was something else that came out that same day that just maybe was, I think it was maybe the Halo Collection was somewhere around there too. So I don't know. But and then I finished up Life is Strange Episode 4. Dude, I just really love this series. This is probably my favorite game this year.
Really?
Yes. The story is so good in this. It is better than anything Telltale has done. Anything that they have done. And
I'm going to have to pick this up.
And I don't think it gets the...
I couldn't get past the first episode.
Did you just get the demo?
No, I got the first chapter.
The first chapter is kind of, if you can't get into the whole...
Oh, maybe I did finish it.
You're kind of against melodrama, though. You're not a big melodrama fan.
Angsty teenage girls. Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's probably not for you.
Yeah.
If you can't deal with that, but I fucking love the story in this game. And like I've said it before, there are things that that happened in the game to me that I was like, that was supposed to happen. And then I'm like, it gets to the end and it shows what everybody had done. I'm like, wait, you could do that? And I was like, I fucked up? And I was like, my instinct was to go back and do it again. I'm like, no, this is my story. This is how it's got to play out. And that it sends spider webs of stuff that goes along from chapter to chapter. And I fucking love this game. This game could be my game of the year.
Wow, man. That's a strong statement. It's funny, too, because I hear people either love this game or they want to love it and they're frustrated with it. And I think you're the first person I've heard who's just totally enamored with it.
I've been begging Steven to get it. Begging Steven to get it. No, man, I'll get it when it's on sale. I'm like, dude. I was like, it's not going to be on sale anytime soon if it is. But, I mean, this game to me is just, I don't know, the mechanics behind it, the rewind and stuff like that, and changing your decisions and stuff and rewinding it and seeing how that all plays. That's just all neat to me. And it's like using that to solve puzzles. There's just, it's amazing. I just really fucking love it. Steven was like, got it on PC or something. And he's like, dude, this game is amazing. I'm like, I've been telling you that for 6 months now to go buy this game. And he keep putting it off. And he's like, and then it went on sale. He thought it was going to go on sale on Xbox. He goes, and his friend Jared's like, the game should go on sale on the Xbox. You're going to be disappointed. He goes, nah. He says, I feel disappointed. I even bought it on sale on Steam because I feel like this company deserves all my money for it. So I really love the game. I do. And I don't want to talk more about it than I can because I don't want to give anything away because let's just say the first part of this episode, I cried. And I cried at the end of the last episode.
So you know it's what? Maybe I'll buy chapter 2 and give it another shot. If you're crying, maybe I'll give it another shot.
Speaking of games that made me cry, but not for the reasons above.
All the wrong reasons.
I bought that Beyond Eyes, the game about the blind girl.
Oh, yeah.
This is a pretty game, but it is, if you think the walk and everybody's gone the rapture slow, oh my god, you ain't seen shit unless you're blind. Wait, ain't seen shit if you're blind? Never mind. But
now, wasn't the game developed by someone who's legally blind?
Probably. I mean, and maybe.
I thought I heard that somewhere. I could be wrong.
I'm definitely. I have an eye problem in my left eye. Of course, we've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. I still deal with issues with it. It's still clearing up, and every once in a while, I'll see something different, and it'll freak me the fuck out, and I'll think it's getting bad again, or it is getting bad again, and then I have to go get another shot in it. So, yes, eyes are fucking important, and if you ain't got one that works right, oh my god. Just, ugh. But, I understand anybody that's blind, but to me, this game is just... The premise is you're a blind girl who doesn't have any friends and you find a cat and the cat visits you and comes back every day and then leaves at the end of the night and then it just stops coming one day and then you gotta go find the cat. But the world is like a watercolory pretty place. And as you walk, it's like you can't see around you. It's basically they're using like echolocation in a way. Not really because you're just walking into invisible whiteness. And as you run into stuff, it won't let you go forward. And it's a pretty watercolor image of everything you see. And granted, the game tells you early on that what you see is maybe not really what's there. And you're thinking, oh, that's going to be a cool effect. It's really not that cool of an effect. So I don't know. I can't remember. I think I paid $15 for this or when it came out. And I finished it in 2 hours, just like everybody's gone to Rapture. I think Corey said he finished it in like 2 hours as well, right?
No, it was a little bit longer. Three to four.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, Beyond Eyes, it was done in 2 hours, and there just really is nothing. I mean, you can go back and get the achievements. I do like the achievements in this game because they don't deal with, like, parts of the game are like, oh, I got here. It's like you get one for finishing the game, but everything else is like, kind of like, oh, feed the ducks. Well, like, there's a couple areas in the game where you'll bump around and you'll find a lake and you'll hear some ducks. And every time, that's what's really cool. Off in the distance in the white, when something makes a sound, you see it pop up and then go away. Like you're seeing like a beacon. So it's like, okay, there's a duck over there. And then I found some bread, and I just went up to the ducks with the bread and fed them the bread, and I got an achievement. So, you know, there's a lot of achievements like that. And they're all, like, hidden achievements, so you're kind of, like, finding them accidentally. I'm pretty sure they're all hidden, except for the one for finishing it. So, but...
The idea seems so cool, and I really want to try it still.
Yeah, you don't. You really don't. Maybe for... I can't say that because you like that pneumonia game or...
pneumonia game.
What was it? Penumbra? What? Penumbra?
Oh,
Panera Pneumo. Bread. And it was only like an hour and a half. So, I mean, when this is $5, maybe you might not want to walking slow.
Yeah, I was curious to try it, but I just thought, I don't know.
I mean, if you go to my... Twitch channel, there's a video of me playing it for like an hour. You can see the boredom there.
Yeah.
So it is pretty though, and it's good. It was kind of unique, but at the same time, it's just really nothing to it, and there's no real replay value. So
I just think it's cool that that it was attempted.
Oh, apparently my D&D group, they've changed the times from 4. Till 9 instead of 3 till 8. So that's cool. It means I don't have to rush anymore. All right, Corey, you're up.
Buttercup. Okay. So I picked up the free game this year for this month.
This year? Damn, PlayStation Plus got cheap.
Yep. Sound Shapes. Or what Mark said. Shapes are round, not sounds.
That's pretty good.
No, this game is really neat. It's a 2D platformer.
Hold on. Did you spell kittens wrong on purpose?
No.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. See, now you know why I never put anything in the outline.
I see. I spelled exploding right, though. It's a harder word.
I'm impressed. I don't know if I should be impressed.
Back to Sound Shapes. Anyways, 2D platformer, really, like, I want to say old school art style, kind of hand-drawn art style. But the cool thing, it was on Vita, it was on PS3. Yeah, they released it for PS4 as well a few months back. But it's cool. You'll go through the level and there's very little noise in the level at all. Mm-hmm. And you'll get these little orbs and they'll be like a sound effect. So then there's a timer or something that triggers each of these sound effects after you get them. So each orb you get adds to the level. And so eventually by the end of the level, you have like this whole song going on. And, there's different albums. So you'll have albums made by like Deadmau5. And Beck has an album in there. A couple other bands I'm not familiar with. But it's really, really neat, and it's a fun platformer. Then, once you beat all the standard levels, you unlock the I think they call it death mode or hardcore mode. I don't remember. But they're little challenges where you have to play on the levels that were in there, and you have a little challenge to get 10 to 20 orbs in the time limit, and they are impossible. I've done like 4 or 5 of them, of the 20 of them. Really, really difficult. But I like that kind of thing, so.
Does the PS4 version have like the user levels that the Vita version had?
Yeah, it's the exact same game, I think.
Okay,
so,
all right. Yeah, I played the hell out of that game. I love that game.
Every time you beat a level, you get the sound effects from that level, and you can then build your own. I haven't messed around with that myself yet, but yeah, then you can upload it or download other people's levels. So that's probably what I'm going to play around with later today, just to see what people make with it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and there's a lot of DLC out there, too, for the game.
I just need to download that, don't I?
Yeah,
for making your own levels. Yeah, you do. It's good. It's a good game.
The normal, if you want to call it campaign levels, they're relatively easy. I mean, there's some difficult parts, but it's not going to make you... It's not like Super Meat Boy or anything like that, where you're going to be punching the wall every time you die.
No, if it was like Super Meat Boy, I'd punch you. you're a tall drink of water, so I don't know. I don't know which way you'll fall to. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. Okay. The next thing, this just completely caught me off guard. I don't even know how to recover from it. Next game I played, I never played on the PS3, so I picked it up for PS4, or robbed it, or however that works. Journey. So decided to play through that, and I waited a few weeks after it came out because I had been told that you want to play it in one setting, and I took everybody's advice and played it in one setting, and it was really, really solid game. I don't want to overkill that game because I'm sure it's been talked about many times, but overall I enjoyed it. The next game,
Journey. It's all about the destination.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all about the ride, not the destination. I don't know. It's all about the journey, not the destination.
I don't know if I'm going to say this one right, but I think it's
Onichambara.
Onichambara, okay. Z2 Chaos.
Why, first off, were you even
talking? I have
awesome.
People who know me know that I have a bad game collection.
Yeah, man.
I have, you know, like Secret Service and like Vampire Rain, and I just, those are like near and dear to my heart because they're so bad. I appreciate them kind of like a lot of people appreciate B-rated horror movies or stuff like that. I don't know. There's something oddly charming about it. Now, the problem with this one is its animation and everything, its fan service is the worst. They are wearing skimpy bikinis, you know, giant-breasted ladies fighting...
Blood everywhere.
Yeah, blood everywhere, fighting zombies and whatnot. But the combat system is really good in it.
It is.
Really? Because yeah. I played one of them and I thought the game was shit.
This combat system actually holds up really well. It's got a pretty good depth to it, so you can do decent combos. And then you always have two characters at once, and you switch back and forth between them, and you can like kind of chain up combos and stuff like that. So, I don't know that I can recommend it, but I recommend it.
I'd play it.
That's
not saying much.
But. Yeah, I've seen some of the shit you play on Vita, Rich.
Yeah, I know.
So, I just played this one just because I was like, I played the last one, and I'll check this one out. And the last one, the 360, was just terrible. Like, there was no... No.
Yeah.
So is this the one on PS4? Is that where this one's
Yeah.
At? Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one on the 360. I'm like, man, I wish I had a PS4. I'd play that too.
The 360 one, it was not a good combat system at all. Like, it was a crappy.
Basic. It was just basic.
Crappy Dynasty Warriors clone is what I'd call it.
See, Dynasty Warriors is fun, though.
You and my wife, dude.
Well, okay. Hyrule Warriors is fun. Dynasty Warriors, I think, shit. But Hyrule Warriors is fucking great.
And
those games.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably one of those games. It'll go down to like $20 real quick, and then maybe it's worth checking out.
Yeah.
Or hell, those games would probably be $5. The way Sony does a lot of their flash sales and shells, their flash sales, their flash sales. Fuck it. Whatever.
Flash sales? I can't say it.
Facet sales, okay? Facet sales. Okay.
Yes.
facet, flaccid, whatever. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
Flash sales.
So this thing, next thing, needs kind of a setup. Back in February, I think it was, my wife was like, "I bought you something," and I'm like, "Cool, what is it?" And she's like, "I'm not gonna tell you until it gets here." And I'm like, "Well, that's not nice." So for like, you know, a month, I forgot about it and I didn't think about it, and then I thought about it, and I was like, "Oh yeah, she ordered me something and it hasn't came in." So I asked her, I was like, "What's that thing?" And she's like, "I'm not gonna tell you until it comes in." And I was like, "Well, I don't understand. Why is it not here?" And she's like, it'll get here eventually. So I keep prodding her like once a week, and she's like, it'll get here. And
when he prodded her, you know what he was prodding her with, though, you know, right? You know, right? Mm-hmm.
I had to do some convincing.
Well, that's more than the national average, so that's good.
Yeah, it depends on what your national average is. It's a little dry where I'm at the moment.
So it hits July, end of May, and I just like, every day I'm like, what is this stupid thing? I don't even care anymore. Just tell me what it is. And she just won't. And I'm like, ah. So she's like, okay, it confirmed that it shipped and it'll be here the end of July. End of July? Yeah, end of July. So I got it last week, and it is a board game done by the people who, I don't know if you're familiar with the comic book strip, The Oatmeal. It's an online comic book.
Yeah,
so it's all, the board game is animated by them. It's a game called Exploding Kittens, and it's a simple, really simple card game where you try not to explode. So what you do is there's two to five players, and there's one less exploding kitten card in the deck, and you kind of draw it like you would, I don't know, a war. And if you draw the exploding if you draw the exploding kitten, essentially you lose, but there's a little bit of strategy into it. But the art style is pretty amusing, because you'll have cards that say like a diffuse card, diffused because it's eating a catnip sandwich or something like that. And it's just very cute game and was well worth the wait.
Cool, it sounds awesome.
I don't know that it's officially out, because the reason it took so long is because she actually kickstarted it. Yeah. So we got the first set. It came with the standard deck, and then it also came with the NSFW set.
Ooh.
Which I haven't actually even opened that one yet, so I need to do that.
We also played, when we was over at Corey's house 2 weeks ago, we played Drawful from the... we played Fibbage and Drawful both. I just want to say that Corey is a cheating motherfucker at Drawful, because he's played this game so often that he knew.
I've played this game like three times.
Bullshit.
I'm not cheating.
Bullshit. Dude, you got snail with an envelope right. There's no fucking way that you didn't put snail mail there. Fuck you. You cheated.
It is process of elimination. Somebody made a joke about a snail and it being snail mail. So I was like, clearly it's not going to be snail mail, even if somebody puts it there. It's psychological.
Yeah, motherfucker. So basically there's like, oh, it tells you to draw something. So it tells you to draw a snail with an envelope. So the person draws a snail with an envelope. And everybody in the fucking room's like, snail mail, snail mail, snail mail. And you play this with your cell phone, blah, blah, blah. And you connect to the Xbox. And it's like, okay. And it's like, it's a snail with an envelope. Bullshit, this game fucking stupid. It and Fibbage are dumb bullshit. Because people are just drawing shit that they can't even fucking tell what it is. So no one's ever going to get it right.
Well, what did I get that was... oh, it was so ridiculous. Broccoli enema. I had to draw a broccoli enema. And I'm like, how in the hell do you draw that? And then nobody got it because nobody thought, like, who would...
Well,
why
first of all, you're trying to draw on a cell phone, and luckily you had like six styluses and eight people playing or some shit, or five styluses. So
yeah,
a couple people got styluses, which I needed one because God knows what the hell I drew. One of them was Saturday morning cartoon. How the fuck do you draw that in 30 seconds?
Yeah, you get like half a minute to, it might be a minute.
And so the whole idea is it puts all the answers everybody else thinks it is up there, and one correct answer, and you got to guess which one's correct, and you're trying to use it to fool the other players. It's a cool concept, but Corey's a cheater, So
I'm not a cheater. You're just bad at these games. There was like eight of us there, too.
That's what I'm getting from this.
So, anyway, Rich, what have you been playing?
Still a good party game.
All right, well, let me get the bad thing I've been playing out of the way first.
Rare Replay, we already got it.
No. Dude, I will let that one slide. The game I'm talking about is F1 2015. Man. Codemasters generally has pretty good quality control in their games. I don't think I've ever played a Codemasters game that was so buggy. The thing that really stinks about this, too, is the physics model, the handling on this game is probably the best version of that F1 simulator ever. I love the way it handles. It's fantastic. But from there on, it's all downhill. I started first of all, it's very light on features. Basically, you can play the 2014 season with the really ugly Formula One cars, or the 2015 season with the sort of ugly Formula One cars. There's no legends. There's no like unlocks. There's like a quick race mode, and then there's like a multiplayer mode. That's it. Nothing else. It's like really bare bones. The game, like I started a career, and I started as Fernando Alonso. I'd figure because I'm pretty good at these games. I figured I'll pick a team that's struggling, and boy, McLaren is struggling this year. So I figured I picked them, and it'd be more of a challenge. So the first race, I think I got a podium for him, and I saved the game. Guys, I turned the game on. My save had changed my drive.
Oh my god. So, that's horrible.
It is, because it was like, oh my god, I'm gonna destroy everything now. But, dude, I mean, come on, really? It's gonna change the character I'm playing with?
Yeah, that's
crazy. Also, like another race, I'm resigning to playing with Hamilton. I'm like, whatever, blow through here and get a bunch of achievements. And one race, they're showing me in second, and they're showing a guy that I saw run off the course like a lap ahead of me, and he finished the race ahead of me, and on the podium. Man, that sucks. I guess I'm not winning this race. Then in the final result, I won the race. So I have never seen such a but to PlayStation. I started playing Codemasters back in the Toka days.
Aren't they Codemasters? They should have all the bugs.
It is in the name, right? I was going to get to that point. Man, I was really disappointed with this game. I'll still play because it's the 2015 Formula One season, and I'm a gearhead, so I'm going to play it. But that being said, this is once I'm done with the season, I'm probably never going to pick this thing up again. I wouldn't recommend it. It's even if you're like a hard, it's The Witcher.
Damn.
Yes, dude, I went hard on it, man. Wow. I know I've talked about the game before. Glitches and all, glitch fest. There's still a ton of little minor bugs here and there with the game. One of which is the DLC missions that you can't finish because a certain character won't die when you kill it. No matter what you do, no matter how much you can go off and do quests for. I mean, I did quests for 20 hours. I came back. He was still that dead and wouldn't die. Dead and wouldn't die.
Dead
yes.
and wouldn't die.
Yep, I don't want to give anything more away because, hopefully, they'll patch it at some point and you'll be able to finish that one. But that was the only glaring issue I had with The Witcher. Man, the end game on that game is pretty spectacular. The final boss battle is pretty tough. I'm looking forward to the DLC. I think the first DLC hits in October. Is it October, guys? Or
I don't know.
Yeah, but the side stories and contrast, they're not. I mean, this game was so lovingly made. I can't speak enough to how much I love The Witcher. And right now, it's my game of the year. Yes, I played that. I've also, I can't get enough of RPGs right now, apparently. So, let me see, what's it called?
Deep Down.
Deep Down.
No, it's not Deep Down. That's that game that's coming out.
What the hell is it called? It is called... I'll tell you here in a second. Oh, no, it's got me in multiplayer. It's called The Descent.
The Descent. Yeah, there we go.
And I played through the last Jaws of Harkonnen DLC. I absolutely love that.
I'm having a hard time going back to Dragon Age. It's so hard to figure out how to play that damn game again. After being away from it so long.
See, for me, The Witcher was hard to get, because I took a break from The Witcher to do a few other things. And that one took me a little while to get back to. But Dragon Age, maybe because I played so much Dragon Age over the years.
I have too, so I don't. I keep trying, and maybe it's just because the game was so long, and I'm kind of like, okay, I'm done with it, and kind of. I got so much other stuff to play. Maybe if I get too focused on that game, then I will not play other shit. Because we're getting ready to come into the game season.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Definitely. And that's why I want to get The Witcher done with, because there's a lot to play.
Like September 1st, that Mad Max game looks amazing. And then that fucking Metal Gear, man. Oh my God. And I'm buying both of those.
No, I'm buying neither.
Really?
But I'm buying Forza 6, and some other stuff instead. But anyways, getting back to the Descent. Unlike the Jaws of Harkonnen, the Descent is not as there's not as much backstory. Being basically,
it's basically just a dungeon crawl, right?
Yeah, you're going back into the deep roads, which if you're familiar with
it's Dragon one of my least least favorite parts of Dragon Age.
Yeah, it's where all the evil minions come from, the deep roads, which used to be part of the Dwarven Empire.
Right.
Now it's been taken over by some evil force.
Do you go back to a dwarven town or anything like that?
No, but you do run into some interesting things that you've never seen in Dragon Age lore before, which is kind of cool. The combat, I will say, this is much like Jaws of Harkonnen, is very challenging. There's certain areas where, you just have to slog through it. So all I will say is choose your parties carefully, because, man, there was like a serious grind. I had to do a lot of that.
What level are you now, though?
You know what? I don't even know.
Because I just hit level 20 when I was playing the other day.
I think I'm like level 26 or 27. Like I said, I played a lot of Dragon Age. But it's really tough, man. There were some parts where, I'm down to only my guy, so I'd have to like run away and like get everybody to get some life back and then run back in. And I had to do that a few times, and I was kind of cheating a little bit, but there's no way to save the game. There's no way to go back and to do your resupply or whatever. So I had to do that a few times. And some of the, like, there's like one area where you have to go through waves of Darkspawn, and it took me about an hour and a half to get through the waves.
That sounds terrible.
But no, it wasn't though, because everything was constantly, you were moving forward the whole time, and you were fighting different types of enemies, and you have to use different types of strategy to beat them. That being said, I think I'm about maybe a quarter or halfway through. I think I'm a little more than halfway through, because there's like six regions, areas you unlock, in the deep roads, and I've unlocked four of them so far. Apparently, you're supposed to be able to get a lot of good swag, but I've got a lot of schematics, but there's only one place you can go to like actually craft stuff, and it's at the very beginning of the deep roads. And it takes a long time to get back there, so I don't know, man. The jury's still out on it. It's just not grabbing me like Jaws of Harkonnen did. There is some cool lore going on in it, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes. I'm guardedly optimistic about it. I mean, if you're a Dragon Age fan, definitely pick it up. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, I don't know. You might want to pass on The Descent. So there was that. Let me see what else I've been playing here. I've also been playing something else. What the heck was it?
If you don't know, I can't tell you.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, folks. I literally, they literally woke me up. I'm not feeling too hot today, so I thought I'd lay down and watch my wife play Viva Pinata for a few minutes, and I fell asleep. And I woke up with my phone vibrating madly, so.
Yeah, that's not the first time anybody's fell asleep during a Rare game. Boom!
I know,
dropping the load. What?
I guess that's pretty much, outside of that. And I've also gotten back into Killer Instinct. Oh no, I remember what it is now.
Jesus, it must be exciting.
I remember. Yes, it is exciting actually. Oh man, but where the heck is it on my?
activity feed.
Nobody
here.
Gives a shit. Just tell us what it is.
I've been playing RBI, not RBI. What's that new baseball game called?
Really? That shitty looking baseball game is what you're excited about?
Dude, it is awesome.
I have heard good. It's good.
Dude, yeah. For someone who does not own a PlayStation 4, this is by hands down easily the way to go. If you like baseball, get this game. It is freaking awesome.
I've heard it's super technical, even though it has
Mega baseball, is. Right?
Yes. Super technical, yet doable. I mean, it harkens back to, like, I'm trying to think of some of the good baseball games back in the day. Like maybe the early EA RBI games, but with a cutesy kind of look to it. It's a lot of fun, man.
Look, I just had to text Kush about that because Mark is always bitching that there's not a good baseball game, and so I'm telling him that you're raving about this stupid-ass baseball game. It's not got real players and everything in it, so of course he's not going to give a shit, probably, but...
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really good.
Can you make your own teams up or anything?
I haven't gotten that far into it. I've been playing with my kids and one of my buddies from work.
I see. You got time for other people to play games with, but oh, it comes to us. No, you're never online.
You guys are in a different time zone. but by the time I'm going
literally.
Literally. When I'm going to bed, you guys are just getting going. Plus, you work the graveyard.
Damn, it ain't like we live in Japan or something. Jesus.
Well, you're never on when I'm on. Apparently, I never see you on.
You make it sound like we're going to bed and you're getting up.
Pretty much. Well, you in particular, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least I see Corey on every once in a while. You, I never see on. I'll be at work, and I'll see you, like, I'll get a message that you're broadcasting on Twitch. And I'm at work, so I don't want to hear it.
So the baseball game's pretty good then, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not a baseball fan, not a sports fan, so. Well, it's good to hear that's good, though. I wish Sony would, or not Sony, I wish somebody would make a good baseball game for Xbox, because I'm tired of people bitching about not having.
You know what would be the perfect marriage? If they took that baseball game and the MLB just scrapped their own arcade game and just gave them the licensing, let them make the license game, because it's really good. You should give it a shot, dude.
I don't care about baseball.
Oh, okay.
I could care less about baseball.
I'm not really a big baseball fan either, but I've always enjoyed playing baseball games.
But you have kids too, and your kids like baseball,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they do.
All right, so that's it for you guys, right?
You know, a baseball game they need to make another one of. I don't know if you guys are. Yeah, this is exactly where I was going with that.
The fucking robot baseball game. Yep. I played the shit of that on NES.
That game was so good.
I never played that.
You had to, dude. That game was so easy to cheese though, because I just make an entire team of the little roller bots with the big wheel on the bottom. And they had this fucking Guile flip kick thing.
Oh yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, that game was amazing. And that's what I do. I just run up into the base, and if they try to put me out, I just do those flips and just kill the fuck out of that dude. we need another one of those. I will buy a sports game if they break another Base Wars out. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about some movies, Corey.
Well, last time I was on here, you guys had just seen Ant-Man, and you all said I was going to hate it, or I wasn't going to like it.
No, I said you were going to love it.
Did you? Okay, I didn't remember.
I think you're lying, Rich.
No, because I love that freaking movie, and I know Corey has.
Was you even here last episode, Rich?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
But I talked about Ant-Man before, though.
I don't remember when we talked about it, but at the time, everybody was, it was like half and half, so... But I really liked it. Well, it's half and half of whether you guys thought I would like it or not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought you would hate it because you, yeah.
I would. What's that? I think that was better than,
because it's not a film; it's a movie. And well, as we know, Corey only likes films.
That's, you guys have a weird conception about what movies I like.
Yeah, I don't.
We talk about it when you're not online. And when I say we, me and Sean and Steven make fun of you in your films.
I don't even know where that came from.
I have to say, this has been one of the funnest episodes I've done.
Man, did Mark tell you to pick up the slack on Corey
before
the show started?
Yeah, must have, because, geez, I am...
You know what?
But yeah.
Chump Wagon would pick on you too, bro. Chump Wagon, he's a real man's man.
You mean the guy you don't know his name, Wagon?
Yeah. No, man, his name's Mr. Wagon. Come on, Chump.
Chump proper Wagon.
Oh, you guys like that? You can just call him Chump. Is that what you're saying?
That's no, no, man. It's Mr. Wagon.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Chump Wagon. Chump. Maybe his middle name's T. You know, the Chump the Wagon. I don't know, man. All I know is you don't fuck with Chump Wagon, because bad things happen. You might end up in a ditch somewhere. Mm-mm. And him standing over you. That's how he got in the ditch in the first place.
Oh.
Oh, I have a movie to talk about, too.
All right. Continue talking about Ant-Man. We'll
Ant-Man. Ant-Man, I would go as far as to say, I know some people disagree with me on this, but I like this better than the second Avengers movie.
Me, too. Totally agree.
This, I didn't know, my wife didn't know anything about Ant-Man. It's very little, at least. And she thinks this is the best Marvel movie. Like, even better than Avengers and all that stuff. So I was surprised at how much she liked it.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Corey. Now, I went away from that movie and said to myself, you know what? That struck me as like a great caper movie with a superhero sort of wrapping on it.
I think it was a heist movie with superheroes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
And that's what made it good, because it was a good heist movie with superheroes. And it also kind of stuck with the actual Marvel lore. Even though at the beginning it didn't look like it was going to, it did. I loved it.
It changed a little bit, but it worked for the universe.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, they're in the midst of changing the universe, too. So I think it kind of adds up with the reboot. That's the whole reason why they're doing the comic reboot. So everything.
The Secret Wars, is that?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So the planets all line up, so to speak. And I loved it.
And his friend, the Mexican guy, was amazing in that movie.
You know, I liked him, but everybody else that they added into his crew, everybody was trying to be a comedic relief, and I thought there was a little bit too much of that, but, I mean, overall.
And I'm really impressed with this movie that they didn't just show all the good stuff in the trailers.
Right.
Everybody was worried about that.
That's what I thought. I was not looking forward to this movie when it came out. I was like, I'll take the kids to see it because it's something, you know, that we can see together as a family, and I went away completely blown away, because much like Guardians of the Galaxy, I had low expectations. Mm-hmm. I still, I'm old enough to remember going to see Howard of the Duck in the movie theater. So I had
and the Duck. I didn't see that one.
Howard the.
It was better than Howard the Duck.
And I'm also glad to see Ant-Man's gonna be in the new Civil War movie. So,
yeah, that makes sense. I mean, Ant-Man was like one of the original Avengers most comic book series.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that Captain America movie. I want to see that new trailer they showed yesterday so bad. So
yeah, me too.
Wait, did you see the teaser trailer that they showed?
No.
Oh, go look it up. It's pretty good.
I looked it up. I couldn't find anything.
The one I found was somebody had made a spoof teaser trailer.
Oh, fuck you, freak. Go fuck yourself.
It was two guys with like toy action figures and they were fighting.
And then me and Corey, when I went seeing Corey and Steven, we all went together to see the movie of the year.
Best movie ever.
We went and seen Pixels, because that's what you do when you host a video game podcast.
I see that. My wife took the kids without me, man. I know it's bad, but it's awesome, right?
I went into this movie expecting to be wanting to drill my eyes out and have a lobotomy.
Okay, Corey, here's the whole concept. We had this plan that me, Sean, and Steven were going to go see this movie together. And Corey's like, I'm out. I'm not going to go see this. I'm not going to go see it. That's dumb. I'm like, fine. Just me, you, and Sean will do it. The morning of, Sean throws his disc golf disc into the lake on purpose, I'm sure, so he didn't go see this movie. And had to swim out to get it, so he was a mess and couldn't make it to the movie. So fuck Sean, first off. And then we were over at Corey's house, and we made Corey feel guilty, I guess, because everybody else backed out. Well, our friend Gillum backed out.
Yeah, Gillum was supposed to go too, and I'm like, oh, I guess if he's backing out, I gotta go now.
Well, fuck it, me and Steve will go by ourselves, and Corey's like, I guess I'll go, which then pissed his wife off, because she was trying to get a cookout ready. So, but Corey manned up, and he went to Pixels with us. And the entire time I kept looking at him like, he just looks like somebody that hates life right now. But anyway, go ahead, Corey. Finish your story.
Anyways, I was going in this movie expecting to really hate this movie. And, you know, it wasn't the movie of the year or anything. But there was moments that made me laugh, and there was a bunch of throwbacks that I overall enjoyed.
There was lots of nostalgia in this movie, and that's why this movie worked. It was going to be bad. And let's just face it, the plot was terrible in places. There's some shitty plot elements. It's shitty Adam Sandler plot elements. So
the plot is I don't know if you guys watch Futurama, but there's an episode of Futurama where they have this exact same plot in it. So you could watch that episode of Futurama and know exactly what's going to happen.
I don't know. Did you know that was going to happen to Q-Bert? I'm just saying.
Well.
Yeah, exactly.
I had heard because I listened to a spoiler cast somewhere else, but.
Why would you listen to a spoiler cast? Oh, because you weren't planning on going to see it. I see how this works. So. There's a lot of nostalgia. You'll like it on video, Rich. Rich, are you still there?
I'm sorry. I put it on mute because one of the kids came in here.
Oh. Okay.
But, he was actually talking to me about the Pixel movie, and they loved it.
Well, I mean, it's but like Steven said, he makes a good point that people hate Adam Sandler movies now because Adam Sandler started making movies for families and not adults, not, you know, teenagers or whatever, what he used to make movies for. So now all of his movies are family movies.
I feel like even in some more recent Adam Sandler movies, he's got that weird edge humor that's like, oh, it kind of goes over a kid's heads, but it's still humorous to adults. Yeah, didn't really have that at all.
There's quite a bit of that. And plus, you got to think, it's thinking on the nostalgia of, you know, people that are 35 to 45 who have kids now, and they're taking their kids.
Thanks, Rob. You're like 40.
Fives. You know, and that grew up with these games and stuff like that. So you got, instead of having stuff that goes over the kids' heads, you got adults that are like, oh my God, I remember playing Pac-Man, or oh my God,
right.
I remember playing Donkey Kong. You know, some of us wasn't born in 82, or 82, 80, 92, you know, Corey, so.
92?
Whenever the fuck you were born, nobody cares. Cause you're,
nope, I'm like 12, don't worry about it.
Cool. I went and seen Pexels. That's a totally
man.
Different movie.
You cannot talk today.
All right. So
I want to say one thing about movies before we move on. I'm going to watch. Oh, did you have something?
I got a movie I want to talk about.
Well, it's not on the list.
Yeah.
Dude, so what?
Go ahead,
I'm
gonna
talk
Go
about
ahead.
It anyways. So I saw Mission Impossible: Rogue Nation.
I heard that was really good, but I don't.
Dude, I don't like these movies. My wife talked us into going because she likes the Mission Impossible movies, and I'm thinking, man, you know, talk about seeing all the good parts in the trailer. The movie starts and he's hanging out the airplane. I'm like, man, the best part of the movie is the first like 3 minutes. Boy, was I wrong. Fantastic movie. I was shocked. It was, this movie had like perfect summer blockbuster pacing. When it wasn't funny, it was action-packed. When it wasn't action-packed, it was suspenseful. There was never a lull or a moment in the movie where you're like, man, okay, this is where I'll go take a pee break, or I'll go, you know, or I'm going to check out here for 3 minutes because it's getting kind of boring. It was an awesome movie. I couldn't believe how good it was. I was shocked. That's why I had to mention it, because I generally don't like those Mission Impossible movies, but this movie was awesome.
Nice.
And you know what?
Even if you're not a fan, you should probably go see it.
You know what I figured about this conversation we've just had about all these movies? If you have low to no expectations going into a movie, it seems like you may enjoy it.
Right? Oh, but my wife loves those movies, and she was just like, wow, that was the best one. It was really good.
I've seen the original trilogy. I didn't watch the newest one.
I checked out after the second one. So, oh, fucking John Woo and his dubs, man. Fuck that noise.
I miss John. Anyways, yeah, you
what
guys.
Was you gonna go see, Corey?
I'm going to go see what I hear is a terrible movie, the Fantastic Four movie today.
Dude, I'm so bummed because I want to see it, but I just can't justify it.
I refuse to give that. I refuse to give Sony any money because I want the shit to go back to Marvel.
Exactly.
And I'm probably going to do the same thing that they're Deadpool.
It's like they've killed. Oh, dude. Oh, Sony's making Deadpool too.
Yep. Sony's. Yep.
Yeah.
Either that or pay. I may do what Sean said. Pay for another movie, but go see Deadpool.
Dude, I haven't seen a Marvel this low rated since Elektra. And that's saying something, dude.
Yeah, I don't. There's really only one reason we're going is I don't know that I talked about this on the podcast.
I don't think you have.
Yeah, Corey
adopted a child.
I did adopt a child, kind of.
No kidding.
From Brazil.
He's an adult child. We're doing a foreign exchange program this year.
Cool.
So he came in yesterday, actually, and one of our plans like a month ago was to go, because it was right around when Fantastic Four was coming out, and we're like, that'll be like the first thing we do.
Here's the problem, though. I hate to tell you this. I found out. See, it's not really a foreign exchange student. It's your wife's new mail-ordered husband.
Don't even start joking.
And he's actually like his 30s. So, yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad news and everything, bro, but, no, anyway, go ahead, I'm sorry, yeah, I just can't let it go.
You cannot, you are on top of me today.
No, I'm not, let's get that first thing out of the way, that's not true.
Anyways, like a month, that works too. So we made this plan to go see the movie, you know, like a month ago before it was getting all these bad reviews and all that stuff. He's way into comic books too, so we're pretty much on the same page with that stuff.
Text me when you get out, because I want to know your initial impression, because a little part of me still wants to see it, even though I know it's not good.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
All right, well, I wanted to talk about something really quick too. I'm not a big YouTube channel person. So, you know, I found this show on YouTube called The Game Chasers, and it's basically kind of like American Pickers, but instead of, like, looking for useless antique junk, they look for, like, old games. And I fell in love with the show, dude. I've watched every episode of it. I've watched their own channels and stuff. So they go, like, to old flea markets and old businesses and stuff, and just everywhere looking for old games. And they do a lot of, like, their humor and everything's just like right on par with people that I know and stuff. And the jokes they make just crack me up. And I am loving the hell out of the Game Chasers. And I highly recommend you guys to watch it. Because, I mean, it's like old video game stuff. They do a little history here and there about some of the games. But it's also fascinating to look into the world, that world of game collecting, where shit that you've never even heard of, like how popular, like how good some of these games are that never got like big releases on the NES and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. One of the hardest games to find is, like, a game called Little Samson. And nobody's really ever heard of this game. I mean, we've all heard of stadium events and shit like that.
Right.
Because, you know, that's all, you know, anytime somebody buys one of those, it's big news. But, like, when you hear stuff like Little Samson, which was, like, when this show started a couple years ago, it was going for, like, $400. And now that game's, like, $1,200 it's going for.
I'm looking for it now, man.
I should introduce them to my old boss.
And basically, man, it's just really interesting show, and they have good personalities, Jay and Billy, and you know, they make cut up jokes and stuff, like we give Corey, you know, like we do to Corey, and they've got their own little catchphrases, like caught them slipping. But it's like, it's really cool because they've always got the camera rolling, and they'll find like fucking hard to find games occasionally, and it's just like the look on their face, it's not all staged like, you know, fucking Storage Wars and shit is. And it's just like, it's highly produced too. It's not like most YouTube channels where it's like, oh, they got a shitty camera and doing, no, it's like, it looks like this was like they were trying to make it for television, and apparently they were, but they decided that, you know, they can make more money, it was better for them to do it through YouTube because they didn't want people, you know, because like Billy talked about it, he's like, he didn't want to have, like, hey, guys, look, we need to get the ratings up on this show, so we got this copy of Stadium Events, and we're just going to stick it here in these games, and you guys are going to find it. Kind of like what Storage Wars became.
Yeah, so, that's good that they're doing that. Yeah. That, once I found that out about Storage Wars, not that I watch that show a lot, but I used
to watch the hell out of that, and as soon as that happened, I quit watching it. So I highly recommend Game Chasers, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna subscribe to it now, man. Awesome. Sounds cool.
So, and definitely watch it from the beginning, because you'll get a lot of the... and it's all bleeped out, but they do make references and stuff, but most of it's, like, all the cuss words and stuff are bleeped out, so... At least in the first, maybe not so much in the first season. So you won't be embarrassed if your kids walk in or something. I don't know.
Okay.
But, so yeah, I highly recommend it. And I think that's going to be it for the show. Okay, sure.
All right, okay. So I got Halo Fix in here. You know, I pretty much, a Halo book comes out, I either read it or get it on audio book. And with Halo 5 coming up, you know, there's been some cool ones coming out, like Hunters in the Dark, which sort of it's sort of about people in was it the blue? What's is it? Team 6 is the one with Locke in it.
You're talking Greek. You're talking about
Halo. Yeah. Well, anyways, you know, that was a pretty cool book. Check that out, like a month and a half ago. Well, apparently Frank O'Connor is getting his hands into the directly into the Halo lore, and he's putting out like. These mini audiobooks were like an hour long, and I checked one out. It's like the, I guess it's the first of five of them, mm-hmm. And it's called Saints Testimony, and it's all about I don't want to give too much away, but it's all about an AI, sort of a Cortana like AI, who is at her 7-year cycle, end of her cycle, which is like where rampancy kicks in and they go mad. And because of the security risk and everything like that, you usually terminate the AIs. Well, she doesn't feel like she has rampancy yet, and she feels like she has some human rights. So there's a whole... It's basically a Halo court drama about if this AI should live or not. And I know it sounds kind of dry, but it kind of gives some really interesting depth to the Halo universe and what we might be seeing in Halo 5. So if you're a Halo fan, definitely check out Saints Testimony.
Are they free or do you get to buy
them? No. Well, it's like, I think it's like $2 on Amazon or something like that. I mean, it's honestly, if you're a Halo fan, it's worth $2. And I think it was like $139 or something silly like that. It's really cheap. It's really, really cool. So you know, a lot of you who are Halo fans like myself, you've been checking out what the heck's that thing called again? Follow the Truth. Yeah. Well, this is sort of like sort of along the same lines, kind of fleshing out the Halo universe a little more. But I mean, I'm so excited for the single player after hearing this episode, because it sounds like some of the things that are some of the later books you're going to see in Halo 5, and it's going to make a lot more sense. Halo 4 will even make more sense. That's all I'm going to say on that. So, yeah, definitely if you're a Halo fan, check that out. And I'm done disrupting the show.
Corey, do you want to get anything else in there before we head out?
Not in regards to anything that I can think of. I will say that I'm not going to be on next week's show, or next
2 weeks.
Show. Yeah. Show. I'm going to be in Vegas.
Nice.
Yep. And I might have some cool stuff to talk about next time I'm on.
So you're still not going to admit it, are you?
Admit what?
What you do.
Well, nobody knows. Everybody knows what I do, but it's like the worst kept secret on the podcast.
Okay, Corey's a male stripper. It's out there.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. And that's going to be the end of the show. Let's get our plugs in here. An hour and a half. Damn. It's been a long time since we've done that. That's even with Rich being late.
Right?
Did we record this?
I almost pulled the sleepy pitch.
Yes, I hope we recorded this. I will cry. All right, because this was a damn good show. Rich, what do you want to plug?
My gamer tag, Rolex DP Racer. You guys friend me, because, you know, these guys are in a different time zone. They don't want to play with me, so come play with me. I'm also on Twitter at Rolex DP Racer, and I also do a show about motorsports. Sports car racing in particular, called Sports Car Unleashed. We do a show every week about road racing in North America, and we have guests on, so check that out as well.
Check that shit out. All right, Corey.
I am Wolfna on pretty much everything, Xbox, PlayStation. Come play with me as well. And we need better phrasing on that. come enjoy right? an online experience with me?
Yeah.
Hit the oil up and hit the gym with me.
Wow, Rob.
Sorry, that's a Game Chasers joke.
Okay.
Anyway, and I'm Henderson Man. Come watch my Twitch streams. Oh, look, somebody's calling us now. Hello, caller. You don't say.
Yes, this is my first time calling.
Henderson Man, check my Twitch stream out and join me on Xbox and play a game with me.
Man, you guys are lucky Mark wasn't on because I had a lot of anime to talk about.
Oh, thank God. All right. Guys, that's going to be it for the show. Everybody have a good evening. Somebody answered the damn phone.